All right, this call is meeting to order the Champaign County Board of Committee of the Whole for ELOC, County Facilities and Ashley Highway, although that's not in the title. Today is Tuesday, October 2nd, 2012. The time is 6:02. Please turn off your cell phones or turn them down, like I am doing right now. Roll call, please.
Moser.
Here.
Come on, I'm not first.
Here.
Here.
Michael.
Here.
Here.
O'Connor.
Here.
Peter.
Here.
Quisenberry.
Here.
Richards.
Here.
Dallas.
Here.
Schrader. Weibel.
Here.
Alex.
Here.
Ammon.
Here.
Anderson.
Here.
Mansell. Berkson.
Here.
Betts. Carter.
Here.
Howard.
Here.
Esri.
Here.
Holderfield. Here. James.
Here.
Jay.
Here.
Hitler.
Here.
Hurt.
Here.
Lane.
We have a quorum. Seek approval of the minutes for September 4th, 2012.
So moved.
Second. Mr. James, second by Carter. Mr. Moser.
One correction. Scott Fidler, not Doug Fidler.
Yeah, right.
That'd be under on page line 40.
Page one. It should be, it says Doug Fidler.
Right, it should be Scott.
Should be Scott Fidler.
And the case is L.A. Gourmet.
Any other changes? Everybody agrees with Mr. Moser, so no objection to that change? Seeing none, we'll take that as being friendly. All in favor of approving the minutes?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. I seek approval of the agenda and any addenda.
No move.
Moved by Mr. Carter, second by Mr. Esri. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Public participation. Mr. Norm Stenzel. Norm not here? All right. Next up is Todd Sasley.
Good evening, County Board members. Is this thing on? No?
Yes.
Okay. I'm coming to you tonight as chair of the Local Foods Policy Council to talk about the Champaign County LISA. And you may have seen in your packet, we did pass a resolution a few weeks ago encouraging the ZBA and the county board to come up with ways that can not only help preserve large parcels of agricultural land generally used for the traditional commodities crops, the row crops, corn and beans, but also to be able to preserve some of the smaller plots of land which are pretty much ideal for growing local foods. And we think this is important for a couple of reasons. One is that growing local foods is something that is growing by leaps and bounds. My understanding is in the last 10 years the local food production has increased four times throughout the United States. So it's the fastest growing area of food production in the United States. Being so popular right now, it's an opportunity to be seen as economic development. It's not just farming and putting up a farm stand. There are a lot of other ways that local foods are being produced and getting to the consumers. The farm stands, there are a lot of the local grocery stores are buying local produce, locally grown produce, because there's a big demand for it. There are community-supported agriculture farms, just a variety of different ways that this local produce is getting into the homes, because people demand the higher quality. They like the fact that their food is grown locally and very close to them. They like the fact that very often when they have their, if they get their food locally, they know the farmer, they know how it's grown, they know where the farm is, they can go out and visit, they can give the farmer input, a variety of things like that. But we noticed in the LISA that it is very much geared towards the row crops, corn and beans, which is probably the tradition, and that's, you know, the majority of the farmland by far. And so there are some things in the LISA that, you know, give more points for the larger parcels of land. Like I said, the 25 acres or more gets the maximum number of points in that particular category. Under 5 acres gets 0 points. But those parcels of land that are 5 and 10 acres can be ideal for vegetable farming and for locally grown produce and livestock as well. Another thing that the LISA does is, you know, gives points for being further away from urban areas and having more agricultural uses around it. Well, one of the benefits to a smaller farm is to be closer to an urban area, because that's where your market is. Your market is going to be a lot different than it is for the commodities of corn and beans and so forth. So we're not saying not to, you know, continue to protect the larger parcels of land, but try to find some way of protecting the smaller parcels of land as well. And it seems like the LISA is difficult to do that in the same instrument. So that's why we kept our resolution relatively vague and not suggesting any specific changes to it, but just trying to see if there was a way to incorporate the concept of saving the smaller parcels of land, good agricultural land, in addition to the large ones and the ones that are closer to the urban areas. Now, if that means, you know, doing it in the LISA, that would be great. But, you know, the LISA is just one of, 12 criteria that you look at. You know, maybe it's better to, you know, create a 13th criteria or something like that that would be able to promote the preservation of those smaller parcels of agricultural land. And with that, I'll take any questions if you have any.
I cannot take questions. Public participation, no discussion allowed.
Oh, no question. Okay. Thanks.
But we can bring you back later.
Okay.
Bruce Deckers.
Hello, I'm Bruce Deckers of 115 East Evergreen, St. Joseph, Illinois, and I was on the LISA committee, and we met 15 times in order to bring this process about, and I'm coming to, of course, you're going to vote on tonight on what you want to do with it. So I just wanted to say we spent a lot of time going through everything, and the goal of the LISA is to protect agriculture, and it protects all types of agriculture, whether it be large or small. And the way that it is written, it protects local foods. People can grow local foods or faraway foods. One of the things that we found in trying to work through the system was definitions are very difficult. And if you try and do something, say, for local foods, well, what if this year I have my little local foods thing and I go down to the Urbana market on Saturdays and take my food there? Okay, I'm local foods. What if next year I decide, gee, I did pretty good, so this year I'm going to spend 80% of my time going to Indianapolis and selling it there? Well, is Indianapolis local or not local? So definitions get very, very difficult. So trying to micromanage this thing into small things that can change, probably not what we want to do. So I do appreciate the opportunity you gave all of us to work on it. We spent 15 meetings and many hours going through many definitions. The goal of the LISA system is to preserve land for agriculture and to try and guide development to those areas where it fits best. In Champaign County, we're blessed with some of the best farmland in the world, and really all of it could be protected, and there's very good reasons why it should, because it is excellent farmland, but yet we know some development is going to take place. So the goal was to try and direct most of that development to areas where it is best. And I think the work that we did was well done, and I would appreciate if you would pass this along, because it does need to go to the State Department of Agriculture for approval, to the Natural Resources Conservation Service, and the local Soil and Water Conservation District before it's implemented. So, thank you.
Mr. David Thies.
Good evening. My name is David Thies, 807 South McKinley in Champaign. I'm here as a resident, although I'm also an attorney in town with the law firm of Weber and Thies in Urbana. I appreciate the opportunity to appear briefly before you tonight. It's been some time since I was regularly at these meetings. I served as a Democrat on this board from 1988 to 1992. I am one of your appointees now with Mr. James on the Champaign County Board of Health, so it's good to be back. I see a few people that I recognize from the past. Knowing how much time you put into what you do, I also want to take the opportunity to say thank you for your service. But tonight I'm here to reintroduce you to someone who you've met more recently and know of, my friend Dennis Kimmy. You will remember Dennis as a local architect who was part of a team making a proposal considered by you over the last several months for provision of professional services in connection with your jail needs assessment study. Dennis's firm was not selected, and I'm not here to ask you to reconsider that decision. That would not be possible. I do believe, however, that representations have been made by others about Dennis and his background that, in my opinion, need to be addressed and corrected. As I said, I'm here as Dennis's friend. I also, in the spirit of full disclosure, should say that I've represented him for 30 years, and I've watched him and his work. I've known him all that time. In our early adult life, we lived together with our families in the Clark Park area of Champaign. And I've been able to watch as he has been both an individual, member of our community, and also a professional. We don't always agree on everything. He's a conservative. I'm fairly moderate. But professional competence and integrity aren't evaluated based upon politics. Having read some of the things that have been said about Dennis as a part of the request for proposal process, I feel that the picture painted by at least some should be corrected. And I hope that I would feel this way about anyone mistreated in our public process, but I particularly feel this way with a local professional and a friend. Dennis will speak to the specific criticisms you have heard, and I hope that you will listen in just a few moments. For my part, let me tell you that Dennis Kimmy is one of the more principled people of integrity that I know. His professional reputation throughout the United States is stellar. He is honest. He avoids conflicts of interest with a passion. Although he is compensated for his work, as any professional should be, I can tell you that compensation is secondary as a motivation for the work that he does. He is truly interested in the success of our criminal justice system, particularly as it relates to jails and development of facilities alternative to jails. He is equally passionate about his community. It does not surprise me at all to see that he would take an interest in the criminal justice system in Champaign County and try to help where possible. I would not want local professionals to feel that they are not welcomed to the discussion about local issues, nor would I want public bodies to hold local professionals to a standard different than the standard to which you hold those who are from far away. In short, and in conclusion, I regret that some have, in my opinion, misstated the reputation and credentials of my friend Dennis Kimmy. I thank you for allowing him the courtesy in a moment to speak to just a few of the criticisms as a way of rehabilitating his reputation. I'm not here to criticize your decision or to ask you to revisit it. I just think that as a fellow community member, we together can do better. Thank you.
Mr. Dennis Kimmy.
Dennis Kimmy, 704 East South Mohammed Road in Mohammed. And Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind, I'd like to ask for just a couple of minutes more than the customary five. I've been attacked pretty harshly and personally in this forum.
Motion to suspend the rules. So Mr. Kirk, second Mr. Ezra, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. I come before you as a person who simply responded to a county RFP for a jail needs assessment study. In return, I had my integrity, credibility, and even my morality publicly attacked. As reluctant as I am to appear before you tonight, I cannot let these attacks stand without a response. The attack started at your June 12 meeting when board member Carol Ammons charged my firm with a, quote, serious conflict of interest, unquote, because we were already being consulted on the jail. She used that accusation to cast doubt on the integrity of planning committee members for ranking our written proposal first by a wide margin. Mrs. Ammons used her accusation as a segue into advocating that ILPP of Berkeley, California, join the top three interview group, even though they ranked poorly, finishing 7th out of 8. I have to assume the conflict charge perhaps stems from a couple of emails I sent the sheriff in an attempt to simply help my own county. In an email sent 1 year ago, for example, I offered some opinions about how to mitigate some of the problems at the downtown jail that caused two NIC consultants to recommend its immediate closure, a conclusion I found extreme. There are two crucial facts about these emails. First, my emails were unsolicited and not part of any ongoing relationship with the sheriff. Second, they went without response or acknowledgement. To me, they just disappeared into the ether. To go so far as to label this a disqualifying serious conflict of interest is absurd and unfair. With the way things have transpired, I actually believe you should label this no good deed goes unpunished. Also at the June 12 meeting, Mrs. Petrie insultingly dismissed our proposal and all others as non-responsive, quote, cranked out boilerplate, unquote. This too was done for the purpose of getting ILPP an interview and diminishing our standing. Well, we don't show our potential clients, especially our own county, such disrespect. We spent hours writing originally and responsively about all aspects of your requirements. This included specially written case studies, an example being where our recommendations to Pinellas County, Florida, resulted in a reduction of 440 pretrial felons in 1 year and $95 million of avoided construction. Mrs. Ammons also accused us and all other proposers, except ILPP, with, quote, classic conflicts of interest, unquote, because we were builders and architects, even though 7 of the 9 requested services required architectural skills. Her argument was essentially that none of us could be trusted to give honest answers about building needs because we were all, quote, angling, unquote, for the next phase of work, design. By contrast, ILPP stood out because they, quote, simply did analysis, unquote. I was quite surprised then when during ILPP's interview, Mr. Kalmanoff touted the award-winning designs he worked on and how his San Francisco architect built award-winning jails. The key to explaining this contradiction is on page 22 of ILPP's proposal. There they make the exceedingly fine distinction that it is only a conflict of interest to work on a design when you hold the prime contract, not if you are a subcontractor to the prime contract. Well, since we never hold the prime contract during design either, can I now assume that the classic conflict of interest charge against us is hereby withdrawn? Or is ILPP now as conflicted as us? Insulting as all of this was, I was going to let it all go. Then I learned that even after the process ended with ILPP's selection, a newspaper article was circulated among county board members that was meant to further attack our credibility. The contents of this article were then trumpeted on September 20 during public participation by Peace and Justice member James Kilgore, a self-described research scholar at the university. In their eagerness to further attack my reputation, the board member and the research scholar relied on the flimsiest of evidence, one article from a fringe newspaper which never contacted us for our side of the story. The article alleges that one of our clients overbuilt because during our 2005 study, we made jail population predictions that were, quote, all wrong. Mr. Kilgore suggested immoral conduct, as I, quote, laughed all the way to the bank, unquote, for designing and unduly profiting from the allegedly overbuilt jail I wantonly recommended. Let me tell you 6 things that were wrong were left out in this far too convenient story. First, the article was factually wrong about the population we projected for 2010. It was not for over 1,000, but for 926, much closer to the actual average. Second, the article says that when the county finally decided to build in 2008, our projections were already way off. They reported an average daily population of 857 to make the point, but didn't report our projection of 872, which is hardly way off. Third, we made significant recommendations regarding alternatives to incarceration, including the very expansion of pretrial release services that the article credited with holding the population down. Though the article gave us no credit for this achievement, we consider the lower jail population a success, not a failure. Fourth, the article criticized us for saying that alternatives alone would not be enough, and that the only real option was building a new jail. But they missed a key reason behind our statement, which was that peak counts were nearing 1,000 inmates in dangerous jails that only had 400 compliant beds per current standards. Fifth, it was ridiculous to declare a two-week-old jail planned for the year 2025 in a fast-growing community overbuilt. This is particularly true since existing jails were overcrowded by 30% against existing capacity and 110% against standards-compliant capacity, and system practitioners were holding back the population in response. Last, we did not design the jail. In fact, we've had absolutely nothing to do with that project for the last 7 years. So sorry, Mr. Kilgore, wherever you are, there was no side-splitting trips to the bank. Mr. Kilgore's personal attack on me after our team had already been rejected was a nasty, gratuitous twisting of the knife. It was highly inappropriate conduct from an official representative of the county's jail task force. And as with someone with such a shocking personal history, he should be the last person to pass moral judgment on me. In closing, I accept your right to pick whomever you want to do your study, and as a citizen, I hope for its success. What I cannot accept, and I will not tolerate, are attempts at trashing my integrity and credibility as a means of attaining a desired political result. That this occurred in my own community, of all places, in front of my family and friends, is worse. As I taught my children, the ends do not justify the means. I think some people on this board and in this community need to relearn this basic lesson of moral conduct. Thank you.
Mr. Eric Sevens.
Good evening. Thank you for allowing me a moment to speak here. My name is Eric Sebens. I live at 3008 Cherry Hills Drive in Champaign, and I'm here to address a request for language amendment to the B1 Rural Trade Center district use. I have 5 points I'd like to make that I think are supporting to consider serious consideration to this language change. I think you'll find that in your packet of information. Currently both uses, contractor facility and self-storage, have been and are allowed in the Ag 2 zoning district and type of area my property is in. They are just not included in a specific type of zoning. Number two, allowing a contractor facility in the B1 district is in line with normal customary uses of that type of zoning and area use. Number three, self-storage and contracting are both business services that are utilized by the rural community as well. Number four, in many cases, these two business types offered by one and the same entity. And number five, the B1 zoning general intent is to provide areas, including ag, with related business services, which would include contracting. Thank you very much for your time and your service.
Mr. Charles Jesse.
Hello, my name is Charlie Jesse. I'm the owner of Jesse Heating and Air Conditioning that I started in 1979. I'm here to ask the board to support the zoning amendment that would allow a contractor's facility in a B1 zoning district. 17 years ago in 1995, I purchased a building and 10 acres at 3702 West Old Church Road. which no one knows where that is, that if you go south from Curtis Orchard to Old Church and go west just over the interstate, and that my property is right there. It's a pie-shaped piece of property. The building was built for a landscape contractor in approximately 1974, or 38 years ago. Before I purchased the property, I came to the county offices and got a special use permit to operate my business there. Since that time, I've put about $350,000 into the property. And recently, I've come to the county asking for directions so that I'd be allowed to build a self-storage unit at the property. And I was told that because I fall within the mile and a half of the extra jurisdiction line of the city of Champaign, that I would have to get the city's blessing before it would make sense to get the permits. I went to the city, and I'm not going to bore you with all those details, but basically the people in the zoning office say they will not support me. The mayor, I took him to the site, and he said he didn't see any reason why it wouldn't be fine, but the people in the zoning office will not support it. They say that the reason is because of their 2011 comprehensive plan, the map that they drew up. It shows my property as a residential subdivision. And I showed them pictures of the property, and I explained that the interstate, I'm bordered by the interstate on one side, a big ditch on the other side, and I only have an entrance just in the southwest corner of the property, and the entrance is just right in front of my building. So I asked him, I said, well, okay, so would, if someone built homes back behind me, would they have to drive through my parking lot to get to the home? Or another thing I asked was that the building had been there for 38 years, used as a basically a commercial use, and why wasn't that taken into consideration when the map was drawn? In conclusion, I'm just asking that you support that amendment. I could come and ask for the permits and go under the B4 zoning and just hope that when the city protests that you would vote against the city. But it seems to me like it would make a lot more sense if you made the amendment that I could come in and get apply for B1 zoning, which would narrow my allowed uses of the property by a bunch. And then I will probably still have to ask that you vote against the city if they protest it. Thank you.
Mr. North Tetzel.
My name is Norman Stenzel. I live at 5458 County Road, 1900 North Champaign. I have spent considerable time in meetings about various things, including Lisa, and I'd like to speak to for a few moments in respect to Lisa. I'd like to recommend to the county that the Lisa is not ready for application and should be reconsidered by at least by ZBA for a variety of reasons. First of all, we heard from Mr. Stickers that the goal of Lisa is one item. Actually, the federal government suggested four items. The first goal is to preserve prime farm ground as a national security issue. The second goal was to support the viability of agriculture, the issue that Mr. Stickers identified. And that was at an individual level. The third is to support agriculture as a community, not just the individual site, but related sites. What would be the impact of conversion of one site upon neighboring sites? And the fourth then would be to support the viability of supportive businesses for agriculture. The present Lisa has two items that relate to those four goals, and it is not broad enough, in other words. Next, I'd like to support the idea of local foods. The last I saw as a total value of row crop production in Champaign County, a figure of $380-some million in value. Now, that seems to be important, and I would agree that it is important. What we don't know is the value of the local foods that are currently produced in Champaign, Illinois. But the economists do tell us that local foods produce greater value per acre than row crop farming. And so I wouldn't ignore the local foods people. I would include it in the LISA, in fact. And I have suggested ways in which it could be included in the LISA, in spite of what the zoning administrator says. You can have a branched section of the LISA. You already have one suggested branch for Cougar. And there's no reason why you could not have a second branch for local foods. And the zoning administrator suggests that you can't add items because you don't have enough points. Well, some of the consideration for local foods could include not counting other items that are incompatible with local foods when you go through the local foods branch. So it is possible, it is feasible. I have suggested it. ZBA didn't seem to understand what I was talking about, and perhaps you don't either, unfortunately, I guess. The next thing I'd like to point out is that the test sites that are heralded as a way of showing the value of the LISA were not field tests. The test sites do not have the same characteristics as people coming to the ZBA asking for a variance or asking for a conversion of a piece of property. In fact, one of the differences that exists when somebody comes to the ZBA saying, I'd like to convert this property, is that they may have been helped by the zoning administrator to configure their request so that the value areas of land are low enough to convert a piece. It's sort of like gerrymandering in political terms. The last thing I'd like to point out is that instruments of this sort need to be valid and reliable. Validity is that an instrument does what it purports to do. And reliability is that it does it consistently. Well, none of the efforts so far have demonstrated either one of those characteristics. And I think what needs to be done is to have a true field test that would help determine whether it actually does what it purports to do and is able to do it in a consistent and reliable manner. Thank you.
Is there any other public participation? Okay, we'll close that. Go on to communications from the board. Any communications? Seeing none, let's go on to our areas here. County facilities, Mr. Jay?
Mr. Weibel, would you go ahead and do that from up there? There's nothing of any consequence on that tonight. If you
any
would
objections
be kind
from
enough
board?
To do that.
All right. Well. First up is physical plant monthly reports. You should have copies at your desk. Alan?
Yes, there was nothing special to report, just for your information at this time. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Microphone, please.
Question on this memorandum?
We'll come up to that soon.
Oh. Okay.
All right. Next up is 202 Art Bell Tower Construction Project. It's in your agenda, page one.
Point of order, do we need a motion to accept and place in file the report?
Good idea.
Also move.
Move by Mr. Ezra, second by Mr. Ezra. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Most carries. Thank you, Mr. Ezra.
Okay, once again, the report in your on page one is the standard spreadsheet showing the 202 South Art Bartell Road construction project budget. The only payments that have been made, shown paid this month, are $1,424, which was a small partial payment to Burns Clancy & Associates.
Questions? I have one. What do we have left to do?
Can we move right to my memorandum then?
We can go right to the memorandum.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Maxwell, you have a question?
Please explain change order 3, please.
Oh, absolutely.
So we're going out. Let's move on to the memorandum. Go ahead.
Okay. On the document I submitted to you is just a general overview of our project. As I stated, that we had to issue 3 change orders to Cross Construction during the course of this project as additions to their contract. Basically, change order 1 was to eliminate the broken, worn down sidewalk that was in front of the old nursing home administration building, instead of putting in a 30-foot long piece of brand new slab in the middle of 80 feet or better of broken concrete that was non-usable. We just removed all the concrete, seeded the area.
Is this the sidewalk that went north-south from the road to the building, or is it parallel to the road?
No, north-south from the bus stop to the administration's entry.
Okay.
Change order 2 came about whenever we were establishing final grade and all the pipe was installed, and we discovered the culvert that was underneath the intersection between at the stop sign just south of Main Street was completely plugged. When we cleaned the culvert out, we found the bottom of it was almost completely rotten. So stabilized it. Instead of digging it back up, we grouted it and then sloped the dirt and adjusted the flow line, so that resolved that issue. Change order number 3.
Question. Does that mean you actually filled up the culvert with cement, correct?
That is correct.
Now, where does the water flow? Is it?
With the addition of the new storm inlets, we were able to just...
So it's no longer needed?
Yeah. Okay. Slightly just adjust the flow rates to the existing inlet or the new ones. Change order 3 was issued and approved by Burns Clancy Associates.
We have a question. Sorry. Astrid?
I still have a question on change order number 1.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
You removed a sidewalk. How do people get from the administration building to the bus stop now?
This is from the old abandoned nursing home, which is now ILEAS. They do not use the administration section of the building for anything except for SWAT training, field training. Even when the nursing home was active, the bus shelter still worked, but very few people actually used that sidewalk because it was in such bad shape. It is not being... The bus stop is still there, I assume, but no one travels that sidewalk at all.
This is the sidewalk that actually went to the old farmhouse, or original farmhouse, right?
The original two-story farmhouse,
which is,
yes.
Which is no longer used as an entrance.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Okay, any other questions on 1 and 2? Carol.
Let me just, I don't understand why this sidewalk was removed under Art Bartel. I don't understand what that has to do with the...
We had to remove a 30-foot by 10-foot section to install the CM pipe.
It's all part of the stormwater management.
Okay.
Okay, change order 3. This was a unit price bid for this project, where each contractor supplied the... engineer supplied a list of unit prices for them to bid. Everyone bid unit price. And between the actual drawings and the site conditions, there was small discrepancies within the actual pipe used to fit onto the actual site. There was an actual... an additional 4 foot of an 18-inch pipe where one section did not line up exactly with where they thought the existing underground 18-inch pipe was. So they had to make a site modification on that was one example. The remaining issues were... A large one was when they excavated across the asphalt parking lot on the salt dome site. The asphalt was so deteriorated and crumbling, they could not stabilize the site of the trench line, and so therefore more asphalt, more dirt came into the trench, and so there were more quantities of asphalt that needed to be put back on top of it to stabilize that trench line. The same thing happened, a small section of the asphalt in the entry to the animal shelter, where they were designed to remove an 8-foot cut, and they ended up going 16-foot because trying to get a good clean cut on the asphalt to patch it back, that's how far back they had to go. So once the construction was finished, the contractor submitted the quantities, the engineers visited site, verified the quantities were actually used, and the unit price that was supplied during the bidding was then used to calculate the final change order. So what is always perfect on paper is not always perfect when you actually go on site and start and finish the project.
Questions? Go ahead.
Me? Okay. I've had communication with Mr. Reinhardt previously expressing my concerns about all the salt, and now you're telling us that the salt laying around caused some of this deterioration, which then caused this extra work to be done. Do I understand correctly?
I'm not saying that it was the salt. Maybe it was the actual salt semi or the salt trucks and the semi trailers of salt that travel across that asphalt. They have many loads, semi loads of salt brought in every year that drive right across this area, and they have their big end loaders, and they have all their big salt trucks that travel the same area, and so with all that weight. Maybe the soil was not stabilized well enough to start with, regardless of what actually caused it. Maybe a little bit of the salt, more likely the traffic caused it.
Thank you.
Mr. Kittner.
Alan, will this appear in the next spreadsheet as in the change order column totals here?
I'll talk with Ms. Evelyn Boats, who fills out that spreadsheet. I can make sure that's shown in there if that's what needs to be done.
Thank you.
Okay, other questions? All right, motion to accept, place on file.
So moved.
Mr. James, second. Mr. Quisenberry, discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next up is a report regarding downtown jail facility.
Okay. On the third page of your handout is a really short basic spreadsheet just showing the projects as we have designed or have we put them together, and the list of the contractors that have been notified or have notified us. And as of this time, Nogal & Black for the roof repair and maintenance. Nogal & Black is on site actually performing the roof repair. We're processing a purchase order right now for to R.D. Cox Masonry for the masonry repair. After the last meeting, I had another talk with the sheriff and his officers, and they decided that they prioritized the shower stalls the next priority for the inside the building. So I expect to have all proposals for those next two items in by the end of this week. So I did not put any numbers or values on them. So that's where we're at. So at, by the end of this week, hopefully we'll know, we'll have purchase orders to up to or close to equaling the monies appropriated last month.
Questions on that item? Ms. Petrie.
Again, I'm asking with great hope that the paint that will be used inside the jail will be low VOC paint.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you, Alan. Chair's report. Tom left nothing to the report. There's no other business, and there's nothing for consent because there are no action items. So we'll move on to environment land use. Ms. Kurtz.
Good evening. Let's start with A, under ELOC. Recreation Entertainment License. Egyptian Collectors Association Buy, Sell, Trade Hunting Show, Champaign County Fairgrounds, October 2021, 2012. Move approval by Mr. Mosier. Mr. Holyfield as second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. D. Request preliminary recommendation for approval of a text amendment to the Champaign County Zoning Ordinance in zoning case 710-AT-12 to amend the Champaign County LISA petitioner's Champaign County zoning. Move to approve.
Move to approve.
Ms. Cowart, Mr. Maxwell, Mr. We haven't even gotten to discussion yet. Pius.
Mr. Hall, would you explain how we should go about proceeding on this issue and the next one is similar?
Yeah, B and C are both text amendments that have been recommended from the ZBA. Text amendments, standard protocol is for them to stay at the committee for 1 month, but during that month, it's essential that municipalities know if the committee is inclined to accept the recommendation of the ZBA or if it's inclined to change it, because whether or not they're going to protest depends on what the county board is actually going to see for approval. So what we need tonight is some affirmation of accepting the recommendation or not, and then if you accept that recommendation, we need to wait a month, have this back at the committee in November for a final recommendation to the county board. And as Mr. Sticker said earlier, on 710, another thing that the month provides for is for USDA NRCS review and Illinois Department of Agriculture review.
Brendan.
So based on the fact that, and we talked about this a little bit at caucus, based on the fact that we need to wait 30 days for an indication, but that it's logical for us to, if we can, give some sort of indication as to our preference at this time, I would like to move for deferral, but ask for a straw vote on what we're thinking at this time, a deferral to next month's COW, because we have to deal with this 30 days from now anyway.
Point of order. I think that the motion is out of order, because if you have a deferral, you defer, you can't ask for a vote. I think more appropriately to have discussion, a straw vote, and then a separate motion to defer.
Sure.
Fine. Sounds good to me. I mean, what I'm looking for is a straw vote that indicates what we're looking for so that we can indicate to the ZBA what we're thinking, then defer for until next month's COW.
So we'll have the discussion at this point. Ms. Petrie.
I would like to amend the the document referring to page 40 in our packet. It actually begins on the bottom of page 7, the ZBA recommended a time framework for evaluation of the new LISA. And you will find it then on page 40, number 17. They don't line up? Oh, on your computers. Okay. My amendment is that any new LISA be evaluated within 2 years or 10 cases that come before the ZBA, whichever occurs first.
Mr. Quisenberry, is there a second to that motion? Ms. Berkson, second. Discussion on that motion to amend.
Mr. Hall could explain the impact of amending this. Does it have to go through the whole process with the Zoning Board of Appeals again?
Well, that's actually not a part of the LISA. The recommendation was just part of the ZBA's findings. I actually think that's a very good suggestion because one problem we have is I doubt that we'll have. We could very well not have 10 instances of LISA analysis in the next 2 years. It's up to the committee. I mean, we could still bring it back in 2 years, or you could wait for 10 cases. If we happen to see a rush of rezonings, which I don't think would be good, but who knows, then it would come back sooner. I don't think that's hurtful. Again, it's not changing anything in the draft, Lisa. It's simply changing the time frame for evaluating it.
Thank you.
Pius.
Point of information, that if it's not having to do with Lisa, then really is the motion out of order? I would say that because obviously it's what we're doing is trying to give direction to you, and it's not affecting the actual motion on the floor. Therefore, the amendment is, I would say, is out of order. I would ask the chair to rule on that.
Well, okay. I move that amendment's out of order. Chris, did you have?
It's related to what you just ruled out of order. I guess I need a little more understanding as to what we're being asked to approve. Is it just the changes to the LISA, or is it the entirety of the ZBA recommendation? Because the ZBA recommendation does contain the language that Mr. Petrie was proposing to amend about when the thing comes back to review.
I'm sorry, that was a question.
Chris, explain that one more time, please.
The agenda item is preliminary recommendation for approval of a text amendment, but the supporting documentation is a memorandum from the ZBA. What is the force of the language in the ZBA memo? Because that's what Ms. Petrie was trying to amend.
Okay, John.
My view is that that's merely a finding. It's an item of evidence that the ZBA made. They wanted to be... I had recommended that as so that the county board would have a clear recommendation. If I could suggest, I think one thing the committee could do is entertain this different time frame for evaluation as just another part of the motion. It's not actually amending it, but it's adding to it.
Pius.
We can't amend evidence that's offered to the board. I mean, however, we certainly can direct John to do what Ms. Petrie has asked for. I think that's appropriate, but that would not be amending the actual LISA language.
Astrid.
Well, it seems to me if number 17 is part of what we're to approve, then amending it is relevant. I don't understand why it's out of order.
I guess I would agree with that. I mean, it doesn't seem that the proposed amendment is an amendment to the LISA language. It's an amendment to the motion. And the motion is essentially to indicate that we approve of the recommendation of the ZBA with the modification that Ms. Petrie recommended. I mean, I think she's not trying to amend the LISA. She's trying to amend the motion. And I think that's appropriate, given that the whole point of this exercise is to indicate what our preference is as to how to proceed on this with regard to potential protest. So I think if we intend to deviate, if we intend that our practice is going to deviate from the recommendation of the ZBA, I think it's appropriate that be given as an amendment in the form of an amendment to the motion. So I guess I would argue that it is in order.
Yeah, I would suggest that since it isn't changing the text amendment, the change, we go ahead with the outline we described, take the straw poll, and we can think about it for the month and make that amendment or address Patsy's concern in November.
That's a good suggestion. Mr. Mosher.
You got 1 month to deal with this, or you're going to deal with a new board, and I'd hope that the 9 or 10 people that were on that committee that worked on this thing endlessly all winter could get what they did approved. Are you going to start over and do it again? This to me is so much better than anything we've had for the last 30 years. And I can't agree with Norm Stencil on one thing he said up there tonight. Because what this did, as far as soils in this county, categorized them the way they're assessed in the assessor's office, from the top to the bottom, and it's something that should have been cleaned up a long time ago, because we've had 3 bulletins from the state reclassifying soil productivity in the last 30 years, and the last one was 3 years ago, which changed a lot of things as far as what an appraiser looks at. I've been around here for 40, 50 years in agriculture, and I've spent 40 years as a farm manager and an appraiser, and this is our Bible. And when you go out and look at yields this year on what were the top 4 soils and what's down at the bottom, it's a sick picture as far as what productivity really is in this part of Illinois. I just can't understand how you can stand up there and make remarks that something that is soil types at Penfield, Illinois, would be anywhere near equal what they are around this town or the south end of this county. And this document has done that. And if we don't get it off the dime tonight and give soil and water a chance to look at it and the state a chance to look at it and the municipalities a chance to look at it, you're going to be in December with a new board, and you're going to start over this whole process again or open it up to changes. And I can't tell you how hard Susan Monty and John Hall and Bruce Stickers and Mr. Donahoe and Deb Grice worked on this thing and hammered it out. And there was a lot of, I don't agree with Patsy on 3/4 of the stuff she tried to stick in there. But some of it's in there, and I've got no problem sending this on to the state and on to the Soil and Water District and getting a final answer on it in November. We started this a year ago. And this board has deferred and kicked cans down the road so long it drives me crazy to sit here anymore. It's no way to run a ship.
John?
I can't say much more. Steve's already said, but we just need to move this on down the road. The amendment that evidently was or wasn't out of order, I don't, was just that? Out of order, was really irrelevant in that we're probably not going to have the 10 cases anyway. So I would like to see us move this forward.
Would you like to move for a straw poll?
You can call it.
Mr. What's that?
You can call for a straw poll, but
I'm calling for a straw poll that we move this forward.
You what's called
that?
On me, though.
I'm sorry, I
believe I have the floor. You recognize me,
Mr. Kurtz. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Price.
I would also point out that the Ms. Beecher's amendment is really not legally binding. We cannot bind a future board to any action. So what we can do is direct Mr. Hall to say, in 2 years, or 10 cases, or whatever, let's reevaluate it. We can do that. We cannot tell a future board to do it, though. That's just not legal.
Thank you, Pius. I'd like to call for a straw poll. All in favor, please raise your hands to move this forward. We certainly have unanimous. But close to. All right, we move it forward. Thank you. Let's move to the second agenda item. C, request preliminary recommendation for approval of a text amendment to the Champaign County Zoning Ordinance in Zoning Case 711. AT-12 to amend the Champaign County zoning ordinance by changing the definition of best prime farmland. I'd move to approve that.
So moved.
Second.
Mosher, Keebler. Discussion. Brendan.
For the same reasons as the previous item, I think we should proceed accordingly, getting a straw poll, pushing it forward so that we can act on it next month after, because of the same reasons. So, cutting to the chase, I think that we should get the straw poll, then defer it.
Okay.
I just wanted to go. We didn't actually designate moving the first item B to. We didn't do the actual deferment on that. And
we need a motion to defer on B. This is a motion. Well, I have already a motion on the floor on C.
But we can move back. D was not.
Can we move back? Back to B after we complete this motion.
Motion for.
I'm calling for a straw poll right now on C. All in favor, please raise your hand. Thank you. That passes. All right, let's go back to Carolyn. We need a motion on C
to defer.
As well, to defer. Can I have a motion to defer?
Just a point of order for the chair. Is it appropriate to request that item B and C be moved and designated to
together
next month's board meeting at the same time? Is that appropriate?
Yeah, that I think.
So I make a motion that we move item B and C, defer it to next month, Committee of the Hall.
Second. Second from Mr. Quisenberry. Discussion on the deferral. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. B and C. Thank you very much, Carol. Appreciate it. All right, D. Let's continue on. This is an interesting agenda tonight. Direction to the zoning. Now, this is direction to the zoning administrator regarding proposed zoning ordinance text amendment to amend limit on vehicles and equipment in rural home occupation, which was deferred from March 6, 2012. I have a motion, Mr. James. Second, Mr. Schroeder. Discussion.
Clarification what the motion
clarification
is. Clarify what the motion is doing, please.
Okay. John, would you please? Direction.
Well, deferred from March was this text amendment proposing several changes to the rural home occupations portion of the zoning ordinance. Since March, I've met with interested board members and changed this in a number of ways. I think it arguably is much better than it was when it had come to the committee before. And what we need to have tonight is a direction, if you're ready for this to go to a public hearing at the Zoning Board of Appeals, or if you think that it needs more refinement.
Mr. James.
John, I was just going to say, based on all the comments I heard before and looking at that, you did a great job in taking everybody's comments into consideration and fine-tuning it to where it needs to be, and I think it's a better document than it was at first. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. James. Mr. Schroeder.
On the same lines as
what Mr. James said. I was one of those that came and spoke with you in your office about a couple of things. I think weight limits, signage on vehicles and everything. I appreciate you making those changes, and I know there are some other comments of changes, too, that you looked at and handled appropriately. So I appreciate it, and I don't have a problem with changing on this. I think we should just go ahead and move it through the ZBA for public
hearing. Thank you, Mr. Schroeder. Is there any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. D, direction to zoning administrator. We're doing a lot of directing to you, John, tonight. Okay, I just want you to... Notes. A lot of notes there.
E.
Correct? D. Thank you. Did I say D? Okay. It's been a long one. Okay. We'll try and make it short as possible. E. Direction to zoning administrator regarding proposed zoning ordinance text amendment to add agricultural drainage contractor facility to the Champaign County zoning ordinance. So moved by Keebler and Esri. Second. Thank you. Discussion. First, John, would you please, so that the question will come to you, explain that.
Okay. We had a request recently from a local business that specializes in agricultural drainage. They're currently located inside a village. They'd like to relocate to the unincorporated area. And in discussing with that business owner, one thing that agricultural drainage contractors quite often do is if they have a backlog of projects and a farmer needs a drainage project immediately, farmers lots of times just buy the drainage products and install them themselves. Typically, a contractor's facility can only do very limited retail sales because we don't review them as retail facilities. We review them as contractor's facilities. And that's why in this amendment, it explicitly allows for a larger volume of just simply retail sales of agricultural drainage products. Now, that's the only thing that's intended to be covered by that. And so this is a fairly simple amendment. If it's authorized tonight, I would hope to have it back to you in February after the ZBA took action. If not, maybe March. But this is really a very minor change, and it's for a use that relates specifically to agriculture.
Guys.
John, I assume that what we're talking about are the black tile.
Tile, culverts. Inlets, things like that, yeah.
Okay. Any other discussion on this item? Ms. Petrie.
Yes, I'd like to have more discussion with John on a question that I sent to him related. I'm on page 117. It's basically the last sentence of the second paragraph, and it reads, to have as much as 50% of the dollar value of business in retail sales. And my question to John is the following. How is one going to get the information concerning the amount of retail sales? And then a subset of that is there maybe an easier way to construct this? One of the things that I mentioned to him in our email exchange was, would it be much easier for him as a zoning administrator if it was defined space, which you could actually see and measure as compared to the steps that it would have to go through to find out retail sales amounts and values?
I don't know if you saw my... I did get a reply to you late this afternoon.
Oh, okay.
First of all, on the 50%, I don't know what proportion of retail sales these kinds of contractors typically have. 50% is the maximum we could allow before we would have to question whether or not it's actually primarily a contractor's facility. Personally, I'd like to have that level as high as possible so it doesn't become an issue. Secondly, we already have limits like this for rural specialty businesses. Now, with a rural specialty business, we are concerned not just about the amount of retail sales, but the actual items being sold. So these are specific items. We know where they're being stored. They're separate then from the items that are produced on site. With an agricultural drainage contractor, presumably they have one drainage tile they sell. They have one drainage inlet. They don't have different models. They don't make anything on site. So whereas we make those kinds of distinctions in a rural specialty business, how much area you're using for storing these things, I don't think that would be useful for this kind of a use. I think we just need to be concerned about the dollar volume, the percent of the total business. And furthermore, I hope I never have to ask a contractor, by the way, how much retail sales did you do last year? I would only ever ask that question if there's a complaint. These things are going to be approved by the ZBA with a special use. This will be included as a condition. We don't monitor these things. I hope it never comes up. But if it does, then we can ask for whatever records we need to.
Okay, thank you.
Any further discussion on this item? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Go to F. Last but not least. Direction to zoning administrator regarding proposed zoning ordinance text amendment to amend contracted facility in the Champaign County zoning ordinance.
Move.
Moved by Keebler, second by Ms. Coward. Any discussion on this item? Mr. Schroeder.
Just a few comments about what we heard tonight, public participation, particularly Mr. Jassy. In fact, I was on ZBA. I don't think you were there. I think maybe one of your family members brought that from the ZBA to rezone and get a special use out at your facility right now. And by the way, it wasn't also a contractor facility. It was a pig farm, too, I think, at one time. So. So it was. So, and I know Champaign and other municipalities in this county like to have things within a mile and a half that basically are similar to what their ordinances are. Obviously, that makes good flow once there's pre-annexation and annexation that occurs. But when it comes to Champaign, I think it's rather interesting what Mr. Jassy found out from the city of Champaign. And this county's already experienced what they've done with Illinois American Water on their latest water treatment facility. For the city of Champaign, which can't infill to save their lives down in that area, southwest Champaign, really doesn't care about its neighbors in unincorporated Champaign County. Period. They don't. In fact, I've warned some of my colleagues in Piatt County to look out because Scott Township is a stone's throw away from Piatt County, and I don't think Champaign will stop the way they're going. So it's unfortunate we have to do this, but I think it's accommodating not only for Mr. Jassy and other contractors, but I think it's important that we do something like this. And I think I'm all for proceeding with this, Mr. Hall and your staff, draft something up that makes sense, and then we'll go through the normal procedure. So,
thank you, Mr. Schroeder. Thanks. Mr. Weibel.
Mr. Hall, could you explain how the city jurisdiction versus the county jurisdiction works within a mile and a half? I'm not trying to disagree with Mr. Schroeder, so just sort of give us details. How does that operate?
Well, when Mr. Jassy, I'll use Mr. Jassy's instance as an example. He came to us. We see that there's going to be some kind of an approval that the city will have an opportunity to weigh in on because he's within a mile and a half of the municipality. They have protest rights on rezonings. Mr. Jassy's land is zoned Ag 1. We would never propose these kinds of uses in Ag 1, so he's going to have to rezone. That means the city will have a chance to weigh in. They don't have the final say. The county board has the final say. But a municipal protest triggers the supermajority requirement. With the current board, that's 21 of 27. I'll have to do the math for the new board. I haven't done that yet. But that's a high standard. And so that's why we always advise someone like Mr. Jassy to go talk to the municipality first rather than get a rude surprise. Well, he talked to them and he got a rude surprise. But that's how it works. If you're within a mile and a half and you need a rezoning, even though it might make sense in the county zoning ordinance overall, they still have the right of protest. In fact, they'll have the right of protest on the text amendment. Because, again, it affects everything within their mile and a half.
Okay, thank you.
John?
Now, just to add a little bit to what John says, not only do we have a responsibility, these folks live in the county, work in the county, I'm sorry. This facility's in the county. That's our responsibility. We need to be taking care of those folks that are in the county. That's what we are, Champaign County Board.
Any other discussion on this? Carol.
I don't understand procedurally how this could play out, even if the county board says, oh yeah, we'd love to help Mr. Jesse out, and the city says, well, no, because our ordinance doesn't allow it, then what?
Actually, no, it's not a matter of their ordinance. They would take
the zoning, right?
They would take a vote on, just like we explained here earlier tonight, there was a text amendment. This committee affirmed the recommendations of the ZBA, and now you'll wait a month to see if there's a protest. We'll do the same thing on this text amendment, and then if Mr. Jesse wants to rezone, then there'll be a rezoning where the city will have a chance to protest. So it's only ever a protest. Did that help?
And so we would literally be changing this zoning from Ag 1 to B1? Is that
well, that would be ultimately. First, there
would
be the text amendment.
End.
Yeah, first there'll be the text amendment to allow the contractor's facilities in B1. But again, the city could still protest that text amendment. But if that text amendment passes, then both Mr. Jesse and Mr. Siebens will have to rezone their property. And Mr. Siebens is not within a mile and a half of a municipality, but Mr. Jesse is. So that's where the protest would come in.
I think this is where, I guess as this goes forward, this may be longer than my term on this board, but the board members have to consider, of course, the current zoning of Ag 1 is based on a criteria. And so to change it from Ag 1, as we talked about previously, because we want to do a business venture there, however great it sounds, you're changing it to Ag 1 to another zoning, which opens up the door for other things. So I think as you look at your land resource management plan, and Lisa, you got to consider all of those factors when you just start changing them from Ag 1 to this to accommodate. And I think that's what it...
And the reason why B1... is seen as reasonable is because the whole point of the B1 district is to be out there in the Ag 1 district wherever there's a need. Wherever the county board sees a need, that's what B1 is intended to be. Out there surrounded by Ag 1. I guess you could call it intentional spot zoning.
Jan?
Following up on that, that would actually make B1 just where his business is and that other. And I know where it is because I had a car problem and I parked in your parking lot a few weeks ago and I knew you were there before. But and it, from his comments too, he has been there for some time now. And prior to that, there was a business, and this is right next to the exit getting on to the interstate. Even if he moved his business, the likelihood of it going back into farming a commodity is probably nil, right?
Yeah, I would imagine.
Okay, thank you.
Could I?
What's that? Go ahead, John.
I just wanted to say, I don't mean to prejudge either Mr. Jesse's arguments, his rezoning, or Mr. Siebens. Both of those cases will have to go through the ZBA, and in regards to Mr. Jesse, he knows what our concerns are. We've told him what he should expect when he goes through that process. So nothing here is assumed to be easy. Each case is separate on its own.
Right.
I agree with Mr. J. This is in the county. If this goes through ZBA and we think that it fits our zoning requirements, I hope everybody here will vote to override the city if they protest.
Mr. Schroeder.
Nicely put. Just to add, too, I think we had a case with L.A. Gourmet, and as I mentioned before about the American Illinois Water, where basically our... It's funny because everybody in Champaign County has a representative of Champaign County Board, except for anybody who doesn't live in Champaign doesn't have a representative on the city council. The thing is that they're so constrained that it gives the county options where it makes sense to rezone instead of using special uses as an ag, where it makes sense for B1 to be placed somewhere. I'm talking about, you know, if you have proper divided highways and maybe some utilities, things of that nature. They're outside the county. Outside the municipality, a mile and a half. That makes sense. That makes sense for the county, and it brings in business, and it adds to the county, bottom line, too. So I think just it makes sense to do this, not for Mr. Jesse or anybody else, but to have this for the ordinance outside the mile and a half.
Thank you, Mr. Schroeder. He has to go through, obviously, a number of hurdles here. Chris?
Just one comment, which I think actually goes to the item that's on the agenda, which has nothing to do with whether or not Mr. Jesse rezones to B2 in the future. The item on the agenda is whether or not a contractor facility is appropriate in B1.
Correct.
I think the best way to consider the B1 zoning is it's essentially the rural equivalent to what a municipality would call neighborhood business. It's a business that exists in a rural area for the specific purpose of providing services to the rural residents and agribusinesses around it, and I think this is entirely appropriate, and I'll support this. And to get a little bit off what's on the agenda, I would certainly encourage Mr. Jesse to go forward. As John said, we can't predict what will happen, but I like his chances.
Thank you. Any other discussion on this item?
No?
Great. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Quiet. Okay. Finally, monthly report is sitting on your desk for September. I'd like to have that placed on file. Carol, one. Mr. Carter, two. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Nothing on consent. Any other business? No business. Nothing to be placed on consent agenda.
Yes.
Okay. Next up is Highway and Transportation. Ms. Kohler, please.
Miss Smith.
The first two. So confusing.
Okay, good evening.
Good evening.
The first thing on the agenda for Highway and Transportation is the county and township motor fuel tax claim for August and September 2012.
So moved.
Second.
Lorraine, could you call orders, please? I can't. Thank you. Thank you. I didn't get sorted in my arms now on cell phones and talk.
Yours rang. That is the joke.
Thank you,
Diane. Okay, it's been moved and second, and now we're open up for discussion. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Next thing is the final bridge report and the county engineer. I'll take over that.
In all the resolutions that we pass for county bridge money and township bridge money and so forth, it says in there that there'll be a final report on the cost of the structures for those resolutions. Obviously, there are a number of them here because we kind of do them all in one chunk. If there's any specific questions on these, I don't want to go through them individually, but if there's any specific questions on these, I would sure answer them.
Okay, Pius.
Move to accept and place on file.
Second.
offered and seconded by
Zealous.
Excuse me. Okay, it's open for discussion. Maxwell.
Jeff, please explain the county's engineering on that $1 million bridge there.
$317,318. Yeah, that was a high-priority bridge project, which comes with federal dollars. And as you know probably better than most, since you were a county engineer, anytime you get that kind of money, there are a lot of other hoops you have to jump through, including program development reports, a lot of environmental issues, a lot of things that you have to do that are kind of outside the typical flow of a bridge. So that was a federal aid bridge. You can, it says state money, but it actually is passed through money from the feds to the state. So we received $940,000. But we do pay all the engineering fees out of the county bridge fund for these types of projects. But that's why that one is significantly higher, because there was actually more effort put into it. Plus, it was a much larger bridge, four-span bridge over the Salt Fork up there north of Penfield. So it was just a more difficult bridge with a lot more engineering that had to go into it before we even got out there to do the work.
Okay, Patsy?
Yes, just curious, how much money is left in the motor fuel tax funds now? This is a pretty good accounting.
This is the county bridge fund.
Right, I know.
Right.
How much do we have left for different projects?
Well, all of this money comes out of the county bridge fund. There's about $3-4 million in the county bridge fund currently for bridge projects.
Okay, yeah. Thanks.
Maxwell again.
On page 132, under is there a typo there, Hensley? $15,467.88, and then over on the other side we have Stanton.
Where are you looking? I'm sorry.
Up at the top of page 132,
mm-hmm.
where you're discussing the engineering design and construction,
mm-hmm.
Hensley, but on the construction side, you list Stanton.
Oh, yeah, that probably is a typo. That should be Hensley there, because that was a Hensley bridge.
Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
All right. Item C is a resolution appropriating additional funds from the county motor fuel tax for Curtis Road Phase 1. Those of you who have been on the county board since I got here back in 04, remember the first phase of Curtis Road, which was from Duncan to Windstone on the far west side of Curtis Road, with a section number 00. That project started in 2000. The project is obviously done. It's paid for. We were just waiting for final documentation from the state, which finally came, as to exactly how much the local share was going to be on that project. If you remember back in 05-06, when this project came to be, there were some items related to poor soils, that they were going to do some lime modification on the soils, and the soil wasn't an appropriate type once they got out there and did the testing on the soils to actually modify the soils with lime in order to build the sub grade for the roadway. So there was a lot of money that was put into removing the soil and replacing it with aggregate and doing that kind of work in order to stabilize the underneath to build the roadway. And that's what a majority of this money went into. Like I said, the project's been done. We've